When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Skims or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and great marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. It's home of Shop Pay, the number one checkout in the world. You can use it to boost conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going through to checkout. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Allbirds uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/income.
Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today, I will analyze the case of Jamie and Jennifer Faith. First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. James William Faith was born on May 11, 1971, in Madison, Wisconsin. He went by the name Jamie. In 1994, he earned a bachelor's degree in computer science. Eventually, he moved to Phoenix, Arizona, and worked as an IT professional. On October 9, 2005, Jamie went on a date with a speech therapist named Jennifer. She had been married and divorced twice and had a daughter from the first marriage. Jamie and Jennifer became romantically involved. 7 years later, in 2012, they married. Jamie eventually adopted Jennifer's daughter. In 2017, the family moved to Dallas, Texas, because Jamie accepted a promotion with American Airlines, which is where he now worked. They lived in a house on South Waverly Drive. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On October 9, 2020, at about 7:30 a.m., Jamie and Jennifer took their dog for a walk on their street. Right after they left the house, an unknown male perpetrator wearing a blue face mask approached Jamie from behind and shot him 7 times with a pistol chambered in .45 ACP. The man then knocked Jennifer to the pavement and unsuccessfully attempted to steal her rings. At this point, he fled to a black Nissan Titan pickup truck and drove away. The police arrived at the scene of the shooting at 7:36 a.m. They found 49-year-old Jamie Faith dead. Jennifer Faith had sustained only minor injuries. During the investigation that followed, the police obtained video surveillance from multiple sources. A camera attached to the Faith family house captured the killer lurking in the backyard of an adjacent house hours before the murder. At that time, no one lived in the adjacent house. The property was vacant. Other cameras captured the killer's Nissan Titan driving away from the scene of the murder. The license plate was not visible, and it was not possible to identify the driver. On the back window of the truck, there was a white T decal. After examining Jennifer's cell phone, the police discovered that back in April 2020, she told a friend of hers that she had reconnected with a man named Darren Ruben Lopez. Jennifer and Darren had dated when Jennifer was in high school and college. They broke up in 1993. Darren had served in the Army Special Forces and completed 6 combat deployments to the Middle East. He was injured in a truck bombing and was considered 100% disabled. He had a traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress disorder. The police learned that Darren owned a black Nissan Titan pickup truck, which had a white T decal on the back window. As more evidence was collected, it became clear that Darren was the killer. Here is what the police discovered about the events leading up to Jamie's murder. On March 17, 2020, Darren Lopez contacted Jennifer through LinkedIn. This was 27 years after they separated. Jennifer was excited to hear from Darren, and they started an emotional affair. The couple communicated frequently. Over the course of several months, they exchanged 116,000 messages. They discussed sexual fantasies in graphic detail, including those featuring BDSM activity. For instance, Jennifer talked about a sexual assault fantasy. On April 11, 2020, less than a month after they reconnected, Jennifer started telling Darren stories about how Jamie had been sexually mistreating her. In reality, Jamie never mistreated her. Jennifer was lying to Darren and playing the victim. She sent a text message to Darren from her phone, pretending to be Jamie, saying that Jamie was going to punish her for the emotional affair with Darren. So Jennifer was impersonating Jamie. She then created an email account that appeared to belong to Jamie and directly communicated as him to Darren. Darren believed that Jamie was having Jennifer sexually assaulted by multiple people at the same time. In one alleged instance, Jennifer claimed that 5 men attacked her. Darren thought it would be a good idea to contact the police, but Jennifer made him promise not to. She did not want her daughter to find out what Jamie was doing, and Jennifer claimed that the mistreatment would only get worse if the police were involved. Concerned that Darren would call the police anyway, Jennifer impersonated a friend and coworker named Rob. He was a real person, but he was not involved in this case. Again, Jennifer was impersonating him. She had created a fake email address to do that. She then communicated with Darren as Rob and pretended that Rob was intervening to limit Jamie's mistreatment. Like, Rob was an ally of Jennifer and Darren. He was on the same team, battling the evil Jamie. Darren believed that Rob's efforts were helping, but then, in August 2020, Jennifer escalated her claims of mistreatment. On October 1, 2020, Jennifer texted Darren as Jamie and shared a plan to hurt Jennifer on October 9, the 15th anniversary of the day they met. The mistreatment would involve a gang scenario and a hot tub. Jennifer was convinced that she was going to drown during the attack and asked Darren to kill Jamie. Darren mentioned contacting the police, but Jennifer once again brought up the idea that she did not want her daughter to know what Jamie had done. On October 8, 2020, Darren Lopez left his home in Cumberland Furnace, Tennessee, and drove 642 miles to Dallas, Texas, arriving at 2:19 a.m., now on October 9. Darren waited in the backyard of the house adjacent to the Faith family house and watched. When he saw Jamie and Jennifer leave their house at about 7:30 a.m., he approached Jamie and shot him 7 times, killing him. To provide Jennifer with plausible deniability, Darren attacked her too. He fled when he saw a neighbor approaching and drove directly back to Tennessee. The police arrested Darren in Tennessee on January 11, 2021. By this time, he had removed the white T decal from the back window of his truck. When investigators searched Darren's extremely messy house, they found a Smith & Wesson .45 caliber pistol. Testing revealed that it was the murder weapon. Furthermore, Jamie's blood was found on the slide of the pistol. The police believed that Darren and Jennifer were in a conspiracy. On February 24, 2021, Jennifer Faith was arrested and charged with obstruction of justice. This is because she asked Darren to remove the white T decal from the back window of his truck. On September 28, 2021, Jennifer was additionally charged with murder for hire. On February 7, 2022, she pleaded guilty to murder for hire and was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Eventually, Darren admitted that he shot and killed Jamie Faith, but claimed that the shooting was legally justified because he was acting in defense of another. By this point, he knew that Jamie had never mistreated Jennifer and had no plans to harm her on October 9, 2020. However, Darren did not know that when he pulled the trigger. He truly believed that he was saving Jennifer's life. Darren repeated this argument at his trial, but the jury did not view the case the same way that he did. On July 28, 2023, Darren Lopez was found guilty of murder and sentenced to 62 years in prison. Now moving to my analysis. There is no question that Jennifer Faith was guilty of murder. The electronic evidence clearly demonstrated how she manipulated Darren into killing her husband, and of course, Jennifer pleaded guilty. The case against Darren, however, was not as straightforward. He maintained his innocence and argued that he had been provided with misinformation, which led him to believe Jennifer was in imminent danger. The state of Texas, of course, disagreed. They acknowledged that Darren was manipulated and deceived, but argued that it was unreasonable for him to kill Jamie, even if he fully believed Jennifer's statements. This brings me to the question, was Darren Lopez guilty of murder? Let's take a look at the evidence both for and against the idea he was guilty, starting with the inculpatory factors. One could argue that it was objectively unreasonable for Darren to believe that Jamie was repeatedly subjecting his wife Jennifer to mistreatment. Why would Jamie, who was an IT professional, create an extensive digital trail of evidence against himself? Why would Jamie contact Darren and taunt him about the mistreatment of Jennifer. That didn't make any sense. Darren never witnessed any mistreatment firsthand. All the information that he received was electronic. He never even met with Jennifer in person until the day of the murder. If Jennifer was really being mistreated, why would she exchange thousands of graphic messages with Darren, some of which involved fantasies where she would be sexually assaulted? Even if Darren was extremely gullible and believed that Jamie was harming Jennifer, that would not be justification for killing Jamie. In the state of Texas, the acting in defense of another argument can only succeed if the other person is in imminent danger. When Darren conducted the shooting, Jamie was unarmed, walking with his wife and dog. How did Jamie pose a threat to Jennifer in that moment? Darren believed that Jennifer was in danger of drowning in a hot tub based on the plan that Jamie supposedly put together. It seemed pretty clear that Jamie was not carrying a hot tub. Again, there was no evidence of imminent danger. Darren had learned about the assault plan for October 9 about a week in advance. He had a number of options available to him that did not involve shooting Jamie. For example, contacting the police. Darren acted like he was trying to save Jennifer's life, but he had another motive to kill. He was having an emotional affair with Jennifer, and their communication about sexual fantasies had become increasingly graphic. Maybe he killed Jamie simply to get him out of the way so he could be with Jennifer. If Darren really believed that his actions were legally justified, why did he take so many measures to conceal his involvement? For example, wearing a face mask, fleeing from the scene of the killing, and removing the white tea decal from the back window of his pickup truck. When the police confronted him about the decal, he lied and said the decal had started to peel off, so he removed it. Moving to the exculpatory factors, when Darren reconnected with Jennifer, he had a traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress disorder. His conditions may have made him more vulnerable to manipulation. Darren did not have a criminal record. He repeatedly recommended contacting the police as Jennifer made her claims about Jamie mistreating her. She even impersonated someone else, her coworker and friend Rob, to prevent Darren from involving law enforcement. Even though Darren never witnessed any mistreatment firsthand, Jennifer did send him multiple images featuring injuries to various body parts. For instance, one showed a woman's arm with a bruise. Jennifer found those images on the internet. However, Darren did not know that. He believed that she had photographed her own injuries. When considering all the evidence in this case, do I believe that Darren Lopez was guilty of murder? Yes, in my opinion, he was guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. What do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Jennifer Faith appeared to get some type of gratification by accusing one lover of mistreating her in order to get another lover upset. It's not clear if this was part of a sexual fantasy or some other type of desire. Jennifer's second husband told the media that before they were married, when they were still dating, Jennifer suggested that he kill her first husband. She stopped plotting against her first husband when she divorced him, but prior to that, she seemed pretty serious. When Darren contacted Jennifer out of the blue in March 2020, she immediately established a romantic relationship with him. She must have been quite dissatisfied with her marriage to cheat on him this quickly. Jennifer later told a friend that she had not had sex with Jamie for 4 years. Every time she offered, Jamie said no and claimed it was a timing issue. The relationship between Jennifer and Darren ramped up very quickly. They were soon discussing graphic fantasies involving BDSM. Jennifer knew that she could just leave Jamie for Darren, but she saw an opportunity that she could not pass up. This was another chance to falsely accuse a lover and obtain whatever gratification that brought her. And Jennifer stood to gain over $1 million if Jamie died. This was due to a life insurance policy and benefits he had through American Airlines. Jennifer could have asked Darren to kill Jamie when she was somewhere else. For instance, Darren could have entered the house and shot Jamie when Jennifer was making a trip to the store. Instead, Jennifer had Darren kill Jamie right in front of her. Maybe this was part of her fantasy. She wanted to watch Jamie die. The sexual fantasies were particularly appealing to Darren. He did not know much about BDSM, but he was a quick study. He approached BDSM with the enthusiasm of a man who finally discovered the endless joys of continuing education. Jennifer and Darren talked about bondage, toys, spanking, erotic fiction, a celebrity threesome fantasy, and a consensual non-consent fantasy. The couple appeared overwhelmingly occupied and even obsessed with optimizing access to every obtainable orifice. Darren agreed to kill Jamie because he wanted to have sex with Jennifer, and her murder plot was the only way to make it happen. He convinced himself that her accusations against Jamie were genuine and that he needed to take drastic action to protect her. This allowed Darren to view himself not as a participant in a murder conspiracy, but as a hero who would rescue Jennifer and eventually become her lover. Darren would have preferred not to carry out the murder and just have sex with Jennifer, but that was not an option due to all the conditions Jennifer put in place. She eliminated every option other than murder. I believe Darren was also motivated by a bizarre longing that he had for Jennifer. For many years, he viewed her as the one who got away. He had carried a torch for her and ultimately used it to burn down the remainder of his life. Those are my thoughts in the case of Jamie and Jennifer Faith. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.